the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
And you are very welcome along to Off the Ball tonight. We have a fairly busy show tonight, a very busy show actually. We have Jamie Heaslip on to talk about his new book, his injury that ended his career, his relationship with Eddie O'Sullivan and Joe Schmidt. We have the very impressive Reese McClenahan coming in to talk about his heroics in gymnast, his heroics as a gymnast quite recently, and his hopes of winning an Olympic medal. And later on, Kevin Kilbane, who ominously tweeted that it was a tough day on the ice, is going to talk about that, I presume, and plenty more, which inevitably Shane Hannan and Kieran Cunningham is going to involve our bang average, shall we say, if they're even that, our bang average football team. I've made the point just coming in here, the amount of column inches and, you know, audio and debate we give to a football team that is at the moment basically no better or worse than it's performing against superior opposition, but we just keep talking about it. It's like Brexit. I just kind of wish we talked about something else at this stage.
You know? No, I know where you're coming from, but you are a peddler of doom and gloom.
I'm not, though. Like, it's just...
He's wearing the green the green jersey today.
Should Stevens be left back? Should he be left of centre? Should he be left full back? Should he be left wing back? Like, we're really splitting hairs here. We're just not very good.
I'm quoting Mick McCarthy, Johnny. No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. That was what he said the other day, the peddlers of doom and gloom, but I found it completely dispiriting. Like, I said this the other day, and some people get very annoyed with this, but if you weren't Irish, would you watch the Ireland team? I don't think there's a chance. You're not going to watch them for entertainment. And it's been that way for so long now. Like, it really doesn't seem to matter who the manager is or what players are in the pitch. Like, I would say I've been in about 40 different countries watching Ireland, and plus all the games I've gone to in Dublin. And how many have actually been really enjoyable when you think back?
From a technical point of view.
Yeah, well, like, there's a lot of results you thought were great, and there was a, you know, that got us from A to B, or closer to a finals, or got us qualification. But if you're thinking just for 90 minutes of entertainment, and I know people just say, it's only about results, and we're in a great, Ireland are in a great position, that's all that matters. But there are times you sit back and you go, you know, so there's nothing better could be doing me with my life than watching James McLean kick the ball out of touch again. Mm. You know, or you know, Jeff Hendrick, wondering what Jeff Hendrick actually does. And like, I don't want to single out, but there are certain individuals that they just seem to be there game after game. And if you give them honest rating out of 10, would you give them more than 4?
Mm.
Well, but there's still there. You know, people do say, oh, there's no player there, we don't have the pick, or, you know, Ireland don't have the pick. But you don't know till you try other fellas.
Does the boy Hannan remember the Jack Charlton era?
Like, vaguely. Yeah. And 2002, obviously, of course, when the aforementioned Kevin Kilbane was one of the heroes, I guess. But it's... Look, we were unbeaten in the group up to last night. If we go and beat the Danes now at the Aviva Stadium, we're...
I've got to have a row with you in a minute about saying we, but go on.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
He's come armed with...
I think with a country, it's okay. With your country, it's maybe with a club, it's a bit more iffy.
No, you're completely wrong. But anyway,
we're kind of fans here, though, rather than... rather than reputable.
If he's talking about Monaghan, he can say we.
Okay, fair. We want to see Ireland do well. We do. And look, if they beat Denmark, we've qualified for the Euros. Last night wasn't good, but were we expecting much else? We're not a very technically gifted team, as you've said. I don't know. The expectations weren't that high going into last night. I'm not too disappointed. We lost to the Swiss, a better footballing team, but we could still qualify for the Euros by beating the Denmark.
We can also still qualify via this kind of bizarre playoff route, which may actually ultimately come down to, now this is a little bit of a long shot, may come down to the truly horrific prospect of us playing Northern Ireland, the Republic playing Northern Ireland in an absolute, I don't even know what to call it, but it wouldn't be pretty in any sense. But I think we need to revise our opinion of the 90s and that era of Jack Charlton, because we celebrated the performance of the team even though we were playing horrible football. And from that day forward up until now, basically since I've been following the Irish football team, I'm not sure any of the managers really was committed to us actually playing football.
Well, I think Mick McCarthy was to a fair extent the
with
first time
players,
around, but a lot of that was because he had Roy Keane in the prime, who was probably the best midfielder in the world at the time. He had Robbie Keane and Damien Duff had come in. He had three different full backs who made the Premier League team of the year in successive seasons.
Extraordinary.
You know, so there were a lot of good players there. You know, Shea Given, Alan Kelly, top class goalkeepers. Niall Quinn was very effective alongside Robbie Keane. mean? Like, now you are looking at guys like James Collins and Scott Hogan, and they are nowhere, even though international football standard is pretty poor at the moment, they're not even up to that standard.
The Swiss aren't poor.
Yeah. There's a handful of teams that are decent. And
they really look out of their depth.
Yeah, and then there's a bunch that are okay, and then there's a bunch below that, a huge bunch. And we're in the bunch. We're in the third tier. Mm. You know, but this, you know, you mentioned there about the playoff. The system now is ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. You go back to Euro 88, there were only eight countries at it. Now, as far as I can gather, if you factor in the playoffs and the automatic qualifiers, I think two-thirds of the teams in Europe will still be in the hunt. Two-thirds.
It's absurd.
No, it's absurd. So you're going to have some really awful teams at the Euros next year. Like, already the system where it's spread all over Europe is crazy. Mm. When, at a time when people are saying we shouldn't be flying as much, with the climate and everything.
I know.
So suddenly you're going to be jetting all over the shop.
Yeah, it's funny. I am conscious of that when you're flying out to Tbilisi, and I was like, you know, every time I fly now, I'm like, there was a poll, I think, in one of the papers today, and it was basically all voters are saying climate change is their biggest priority. But yeah. Paul from Cork, I want to get the boy Hannon in on this, a talented footballer in his own right. That's not the text, actually. This campaign has really shown that Seamus Coleman has become a problem, and he's our captain. His performances have deteriorated each game. Was Matt Doherty wrongly accused of being the issue from Gibraltar away? I've thought Coleman was really poor in both of our last two games.
I don't think he's been at anywhere near the level on a consistent basis as he was before the leg break for either club or country.
Look,
he's had some good games, but he hasn't been anywhere near as consistent. And he looks very frustrated.
I think he knows he's
not performing.
But Shane, the debate about Doherty v Coleman was that Doherty plays wing back and he's a better wing back than Coleman. Again, we're kind of talking about the colour of a car with a bad engine here, but Coleman was picked right wing back last night ahead of Doherty.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if Coleman can't be dropped when, to my mind, he's very lucky to be playing ahead of Doherty anyway.
Mick McCarthy has the benefit of seeing these lads in training. We all know what Matt Doherty can do, but if Coleman is doing enough in training to warrant a starting place, and clearly there's the element that he is a great captain and great motivator behind the team as well. We talk about formations through the nose here. We can, as long as we like. James McLean is another one. We've Conor Hourihan on the bench. He's playing for Aston Villa in the Premier League level, scoring goals as well recently for them. So you do look at the bench and see lads, and especially the issue last night, legs are heavy. Coleman's legs look particularly heavy.
On the pitch,
and he didn't make a third sub, which was a strange one given that Hourihan was on the bench and other talented lads are on the bench as well. But look, mixed man making the decision.
And also, he said in RT beforehand, you know, they'd practiced playing three at the back and that they played it before against Switzerland. And then the Stevens comes out and said they didn't practice it.
They didn't practice it last night.
If you're talking about they played against Switzerland at home, and it was for a few minutes. Like, they didn't start that. You know, it wasn't like they played the whole game with three at the back. And it did make no sense that you're going with a guy who's really one of the most accomplished wing-backs around, and you're going with that system and you don't pick him. People forget, you know, we talk about looking at the bench and the bench did look very light. Like, why isn't Shane Long in that squad?
I know.
You know, it makes no sense. Like,
to be fair, now he could definitely have been used in the last couple of games. Got a text in, predictably without a name. You're a joke, Johnny. Bang the Stephen Kenny drum all year when they win. Not a peep out of you when they lose. Disgrace you are. Well, I'm actually going to talk about the 1-0 loss to Iceland briefly later on.
Yeah, I just want to say on Stephen Kenny, I feel sorry for Stephen Kenny, because Stephen Kenny will come in after the Euros, and it's far, far more, like, people say, oh, you know, there are promising young players there, but there's never any guarantee with young players. But he's coming in, and it's far more difficult to qualify for World Cup than European Championship. Like,
lesser expectations.
There are 12 or 16 European, is it 12 European teams go?
Yeah, like this.
So it's half the number. Like, Ireland, 2002 is the last time. So, you've got 1994, 2002, that's it. It's a far more difficult thing. So he'll be coming in. Like, if Ireland do get, and because of this bizarre system, Ireland might well get to the European Championship finals, even though they've been really poor in this group.
And the rest. Seamus Coleman is done. Sorry, Kieran. Seamus Coleman is done. Look at his Everton performance too. Mick has to drop in. Watch what happens to Coleman when Silva gets sacked. I reckon he won't play for Everton again. From John, McLean wasn't much better.
No, and Jeff Hendrick wasn't much better.
I thought Jeff Hendrick in the second half did okay, but maybe my expectations for him, because he got on the ball a little bit. I don't know, Shane, you're a good bit younger than us. Like, what's it like being an Ireland fan in your mid-20s that doesn't even really remember when we were any youth?
Yeah, there's a bit too much to him. I think Irish people like giving out about the football team as much as we like giving out about
weather,
the weather.
Brexit.
Exactly. Like, if we beat Denmark, we're into the Euros, but we probably have home games against the likes of Spain or someone next summer in Dublin. It'll be a great festival of football in Dublin. If we lose to Denmark,
it won't when Ireland are playing.
It won't. But look, if we lose, Raf Diallo for offtheball.com has done the permutations, or as things stand, it looks if we lose to Denmark, we could play someone like Wales in a semi-final, and then, as you said, the North or Bosnia and Herzegovina in a playoff final. So we still have chances to qualify. If we do it the hard way, so be it. But if we're there next summer, then who cares?
I think we need to talk about things that actually matter in life, though, because, like, we'll be on our deathbed and we'll be like, God, we spend like 20% of our lives talking about really bang average Irish and international football teams. Mm. Like, what were we doing? And then we spend 80% on social media, and that was even worse.
Yeah, you know? You've been a few trips, so you were to Tbilisi the other day as well. Yeah,
the match really got in the way of it, as it turned out.
But that's like, often the case.
That it was such a case. Nightmare.
Like, but when you go to games regularly, the away trips, you recognise a lot of the fans that are a group of regulars who go no matter where, if it's a friend. Mm. And I just often wonder about those people, because they're spending a huge amount of money year on year watching terrible football.
But it's not
like, it's out of its sense of duty. And I don't like using the word patriotism anymore, because so many gobshites use it for very ugly reasons. But like, they have this love of Ireland, and the Irish team represents something very significant to them. But it's a bloody endurance test a lot of the time.
It is.
I just sometimes wonder, do they not sometimes think, I'll go to New York for a week instead, or do go to Mallorca or something?
I wonder how many of them would go if it was like, you can go on all these trips, but you must remain sober for the duration. So if you had to watch an Ireland game, like, without a few pints in you, in a foreign country, I'd say it'd be a fairly flat atmosphere, like, because it was just so grim in Tbilisi.
Yeah, because I was looking at some of the tweets from the journalists over the Rugby World Cup, trying to find somewhere to watch the game, and like, it was on about 5 a.m. in Tokyo, and like, Derek Foley inevitably found a sports bar that was showing it, so he was putting around a link or something. But I was just thinking, imagine staying up that late to watch that. And you're going to think, I'm going to be knackered tomorrow, I have work to do, and I'm very drunk, and it's 5 a.m.
On that point, there's a number of Irish fans, as you said, that go to pretty much every away game. But Pat O'Branagh outside, he was at both the Tbilisi game and Geneva game. He works on News Talk Breakfast, but he goes to a lot of the Irish away games, and he was saying he can rationalise it as long as it's a qualifier. He went to an away friendly, I think, in Poland a couple of years ago, and he was sitting there thinking, what am I doing here? It's a friendly. But
I've decided never to go to friendlies anymore.
Yeah,
even home friends. I'm not going to friendlies.
I like this text. Johnny, at least the soccer lads are not as condescending and pompous as the rugby players, be they ex-internationals or not. Kieran, what do you make of that? Are the rugby lads pompous? We've Jamie Heaslip on in an unrelated matter later on in the show.
Some of them are, but some of this, are you talking about players, ex-players?
I think players and ex-players. And
some are, like, can you name names with the libel laws? I don't know. But some are.
Probably not.
Some are.
It's err on the side of caution.
Yeah, but some aren't. Some are completely sound.
Some lads are sound, though.
There's a few I've encountered over the years that I wouldn't have much time, but generally most of them are. But
we need more of the retired soccer lads doing podcasts, I think. A lot of the rugby lads have that idea.
We're going to talk that with Jamie Heaslip as well. His brave decision to ask for a vote on... there are too many podcasts, to be honest, anyway, but Connolly...
I always thought that would be a great name for a podcast. There are too many podcasts.
Yeah, it could well happen. Connolly is the bubble burst.
Aaron Connolly? No, look, first start. What a place to be thrown in for your first start in Geneva on a terrible pitch when the pressure is fully on. But look, he's bright future. He was very good.
But Ireland were blessed there was a terrible pitch.
It wasn't as bad though. I thought it would be unraceable by looking at it an hour beforehand.
But on a decent fast pitch, Switzerland would have cut them to ribbons. Like, it slowed them down a little bit.
It slowed Seamus Coleman down. Coleman has been okay post injury, but since Silva the spoofer has conspired to destroy Everton, Seamus has been totally out of sorts from Paul. What about the ref lads? Very biased, I thought, and very friendly with the Swiss players at the end. We are average, but at least we're trying to pass the ball.
Are they trying? Like, I don't think they are at all. Like, that's why I wouldn't blame the managers. I would blame the players for not... Like, you even look at their body position sometimes when they get the ball. They don't want it.
They don't want the ball. There's a litany of that. Will you get a bit of news, Shane? Because I'm actually getting pissed off with this.
I know. It puts you in a bad form, doesn't it?
Ask me about Elvis in a minute. Go on.
Elvis. That's a random one. From Elvis to rugby, I think. Sean Cronin, his Rugby World Cup is over. So some bad news for Ireland and Joe Schmidt today. The 33-year-old Leinster star suffered a neck injury in Irish training in Japan. Ulster hooker Rob Herring is set to link up with the Irish squad ahead of Saturday's World Cup quarterfinal against the All Blacks. Herring has won 8 caps for Ireland and was part of Joe Schmidt's training squad ahead of the tournament. Joe Schmidt will name his starting team tomorrow. Meanwhile, former All Blacks scrum half Justin Marshall sat down with Owen Sheehan in Tokyo. The 81 times capped international has said Ireland are misusing Conor Murray at this World Cup.
One of the last things I just wanted to ask you about, Justin, was about Conor Murray's performances so far this calendar year. Obviously, ends 2018 is arguably the best scrum half in the world. Mm. This year hasn't gone amazingly for him, but I do wonder if he was so central to Ireland's tactical plan in terms of box kicking that as soon as you figure out Ireland tactically, suddenly Conor Murray's performance dips. I'm not sure what you've made of his graph this year.
Well, he's a high-quality player, and he is world-class. And on his day, he's capable of causing lots of teams big headaches because he's intelligent. I think what has happened with Ireland is, yes, they've become predictable and they haven't evolved their kicking game. And because of that, I think Conor Murray got given the mantle of being the best scrum half in the world. But a lot of the plaudits that were coming his way were about the way that he controlled the kicking game.
Sure.
So then teams analyse it and go, okay, what are his idiosyncrasies? When he gets set to kick, where does he normally kick? What areas does he want to put it in? And so the back three adjust, wingers adjust, they get used to it, and they know what they know and expect what's coming. What I do think is what he's done then is not being able to have the rest of his game in sync.
Do you remember The Simpsons when Homer fought Frederick Tatum?
Oh yeah, and he just stood there and took punches.
Took punches, and the announcer, like, with all the pomp and ceremony beforehand, he's like, due to popular demand, we will now forego the national anthem. So due to popular demand, we've decided here, we're actually going to take out the reference to the football in this various news round. Yeah, so we're going to move on.
My next story was Switzerland 2, Republic of Ireland.
We know that, let's get
we're
on.
We're not going to talk about that. We'll leave that page over there. Man United.
It's United injury blows.
Yeah, massive. A double blow for them ahead of Sunday's Premier League clash against Liverpool. Both David De Gea and Paul Pogba have been ruled out of that game at Old Trafford on Sunday through injury. Spanish keeper De Gea limped off the pitch in the second half of Spain's 1-1 draw with Sweden in Euro 2020 qualifying last night. He suffered the thigh injury when he was clearing a ball immediately clutching his leg. United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says Pogba is still struggling with a foot problem.
Played a couple of games, maybe played through the pain barrier, and we had a scan after the Arsenal game and he needed a few weeks rest in a boot, so hopefully he won't be too long, but he won't make this game, no.
Shout out to Tim Clancy, the Drogheda manager, who's just texted to say we're ruining his night by having to listen. Of course, the Drogs facing Cavan Teely. Tim is not a manager under pressure ahead of the playoffs. Solskjaer, do you have any sympathy for him? He seems a decent man. Kieran?
No sympathy for him. Like, he took the job. He knew what was ahead of him. He's very well paid for it, so... I think he's just out of his depth. Should you have sympathy for somebody who took a job in those circumstances? And like all this, I think people are too quick to say it's all Edward Woodward's fault. You know, this. Mm. Needs another $200 million spent, even though they spent $1 billion already. Like, how much? Eventually, you have to.
If they're the top
two, it.
If they're like Man United's best two players or thereabouts anyway, Liverpool have some good news.
Yeah, they do have a double in fitness boost ahead of that game on Sunday. Johnny Alisson Becker and Joel Matip returning to training for them. Alisson has been sidelined since injuring his calf muscle in the win over Norwich on the opening weekend of the Premier League season. Matip suffered an injury setback in the 1-0 win over Sheffield United and missed the subsequent home matches against Salzburg and Leicester. So bad news on the injury front for United and good news for Liverpool ahead of Sunday.
Like, I'm sure you saw this in Tbilisi, but Ireland produces a lot of crackpots and eccentrics.
Well, like, I was sure, there.
Yeah, you were there, obviously. Like, I've heard a few stories. I don't want to, probably not for air, but I was down, I had to go down to Greystones today with my son.
Is this the Elvis story?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I couldn't get over this, but my son had an appointment on Greystones, so we got the dart across, but I came out of the train with him, and there was a guy sitting at the train station wearing full Elvis suit. He's in his 60s, hair dyed jet black, and big sideburns and the sunglasses, and sitting there smoking. And like,
this morning.
This afternoon.
Right.
So I thought Canada's going to have to say something. So I just said, how are you, Elvis?
Call him in this.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So I said, how are you, Elvis? He goes, rocking, kid, rocking. And I just think, when I walked out, I was thinking, I should have gone back and said, what's the story with this guy? But actually, did you ever hear, there's a great Eddie Murphy routine about Elvis. But when Elvis went to Hollywood, they figured, they learned very quickly that he couldn't act. So one director had a brainwave and he said, maybe sing the words. So they say, hey Elvis, we got to win this race.
That's not bad, kid. Yeah.
That was decent.
That's okay. Not the best.
Okay, I'll give you another one. Hold on. Very quickly. Hey Elvis, do you want a drink? Lemonade. That killed refreshing drink.
That's the best Donegal.
The boy Phil Egan had half an hour on OTBM yesterday to give me one Mick McCarthy, and he wouldn't. And he's a repertoire. Just to plug our commentary, we've Kilbane and Murphy, the deadly duo at Anfield, for the Man United Liverpool, the Liverpool victory over Man United as it's increasingly looking. Any more news?
Couple of bits
on there, the boy Hannon.
Indeed, Bulgarian police, Johnny, have identified 50 fans they suspect are responsible for subjecting England players to racist abuse and arrested 6 of them. The 9 not arrested are under police investigation, with 3 wanted. Bulgaria's coach, Krasimir Balakov, says he'll be forced to take legal action if hateful language towards him on social media doesn't stop. It comes after he claimed he didn't hear the racial abuse England's players were subjected to in Monday's Euro 2020 qualifier. In a statement, Balakov added he condemns all racism, but said he felt it was a small minority inside the stadium. So, plenty of controversy in that one. Hristo Stoichkov, the Bulgarian legend, was on Bulgarian TV, kind of very emotional, talking about it today and saying stadium bans and stuff need to be brought in, but it's kind of a blight on his country. He feels very downbeaten after what happened on Monday.
Yeah, their football team's a blight in the country as well.
Yeah, well, we could talk about that as well. Patrick Hoban.
They're guaranteed more or less a playoff as well. Yeah. That shows you ludicrous. They're awful.
Patrick Hoban, the will he, won't he?
You're going with Hoban over Hoban.
It's Hoban,
yeah,
isn't it?
It probably should be Hoban. I don't know. Anyway.
I'll go with Hoban. Patrick Hoban has committed his future to Dundalk. The striker signed a new 2-year deal with the League of Ireland champions, which will see him stay at Oriel Park until the end of the 2021 campaign. He has scored 93 goals in 165 games for the Lily Whites, hitting the net a club record 76 times in the league. So that's a great re-signing for Dundalk. Meanwhile, jockey Jack Kennedy is set to be out injured for around 6 weeks after breaking his collarbone. The injury occurred in a fall from Swordsman in a novice chase at Punchestown this evening. Kennedy was unshipped from the Gordon Elliott trained gelding at the fourth fence in the Grade 3 contest, which was won by Jan Matt. He was stood down for the day and further examination revealed the extent of the damage.
Yeah, I'd just like to give Jack the best wishes because he's had a very, very injury-peppered run. He's a brilliant, brilliant prospect, and hopefully things will improve for him because he certainly deserves it, one of the gents of the game. I just want to mention as well, every night this week we're giving you the chance to win dinner for two at the award-winning Brasserie at the luxurious 5-star Marco Hotel. It's located directly beside the Borgash Energy Theatre and the perfect location for pre-theatre dining or parties for the festive season. Oh God, already. To be in with a chance of winning, just answer this question. Name the typhoon that hit Japan over the weekend. Text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll contact the winner after the show. Tim Clancy, get your text in there. Bring Sean in to the Marker Hotel, or at least potentially, and give some cheer to your lovely wife from Belfast. It's all thanks to the Brasserie at the Marker Hotel, where you can enjoy their menu. A unique twist on the traditional. Any more news?
Yeah, I'll give you one or two more stories. So Brooks Koepka has dismissed suggestions that he has a rivalry with Rory McIlroy, pointing out that the Ulsterman hasn't won a major in the last 5 years. The world number one says he doesn't view McIlroy as a rival. He said, I've been out here for 5 years? Rory hasn't won a major since I've been in the PGA Tour, so I just don't view it as a rivalry. I'm not looking at anybody behind me. I'm number one in the world. I've got open road in front of me. I'm not looking in the rearview mirror, so I don't see it as a rivalry. Koepka, of course, collected his fourth major when he landed the PGA in May, while McIlroy won the FedEx Cup this season.
We have a question for the lads after these texts inevitably about Ireland. Lads, on the difference in McLean and Hendrick. McLean plays to his level. Hendrick plays well for about half a game per year, like last night. He has ability but doesn't apply himself. Owen from Dublin couldn't really disagree at all with that. Hi, the shame is none of our team soccer or rugby show any flair. It's soccer and rugby by numbers. Invest in flair. Mark, hard to disagree with that. Question for Shane and Kieran. Which Irish athletes in any sport are showing any flair right now? Well, I'm going to answer that. I've no interest in athletics, but one of them is going to be on later on the show tonight. Young McLenahan.
Ray's McLenahan, yeah, he's top class. And he's a great attitude.
Absolutely love the kid.
He's so confident and backs himself. And he had a very bad injury last year. Like, because this wasn't his first year. He got world bronze, but he'd won major medals before, and that really seemed to knock him back. But to do what he's done, like he used to train, he's probably talked to you about this, he used to train his back garden because, you know, people go on
the
facilities.
He's a big fan of jumping up the trees.
Yeah, because it just, there weren't a huge amount of facilities around Newton Ards. But Newton Ards is strange now. He's won world bronze, right? Martin Irvine, cyclist, when there has won world gold. And Eddie Irvine effectively won world silver because he was second in the Formula One World Championship. So I don't know what the population, 20,000, 25,000.
We don't have Gerard Gilroy coming up, but we do have coming up later on, and I have to plug this, the best Gerard Gilroy impression I've ever heard. He'll be talking to Matt Williams, who gets very, very pally with Gerard Gilroy. Shane, I'm not overselling this.
No, I've heard. I thought impersonating Ger was quite a tough thing to do, possibly. But
probably sackable.
Richard has done quite a stellar job.
Richard is an absolute national treasure.
Genius, yeah.
The stuff he's come up with just for Off the Ball over the last couple of weeks. Joe Schmidt is arguably one of the best I've ever heard him do, and that's a big accolade.
Some of his both his Eddie impression and his Eddie-isms, like.
Yeah.
Something you can't do with a spanner. What was that? I can't remember offhand.
You can't eat beans with a spanner.
That was perfect.
Fair point.
You can't grate cheese with a rope. But Eddie's taken in good spirits. I'm not sure about Joe Malloy and Gerard Gilroy. I'm not sure how they've reacted or how they're going to react. We can only ask them live on air.
It's not to be impersonated, you know, and slagged off. I think it's a
until you don't like it.
Yeah.
You're like, if it goes too far. Yeah.
I believe you can ask John when he's in, but I believe John Giles wasn't mad about that pretty much.
I don't think he was. Fortunately, I rarely get the chance to interview Gilesy, but did play in an indoor football game in which he was one of the coaches once.
I thought you were about to say you played with him. He's 78.
He ran rings around me. Anything else? Alexis Sanchez is injured.
Yeah, he is injured. So he's out for a few weeks, actually. In fact, 3 months with an ankle injury, Johnny. He's currently on loan, of course, with Inter Milan in Italy from Manchester United. He will need an operation after picking up the problem on international duty with Chile. And just one final story for you. The marathon and race walk events at next year's Olympics in Japan have been moved from Tokyo. They'll now be held 1,000 miles north in Sapporo, where the temperature is cooler. Almost half the field, of course, failed to complete the women's marathon at the recent World Athletics Championships in Doha due to the heat.
That's a problem. I'm going to the Olympics and Brendan Boyce might have a shot at a medal in the walk. Mm. So how do we get down to 1,000 miles and get straight back up?
1,000 miles north.
It's a disgrace that people are running marathons over there, and it's even bigger disgrace that they're putting a World Cup over there. Like, Qatar is tiny. There's nothing to be gained long-term by having a load of football stadiums over there with a very, very dodgy, so many question marks over how they got it in the first place, the regime in general, and it's despicable. I actually think, like, a lot of countries should be saying, we're not going there, because once you look into this, the worse it gets. But are we going to qualify for the Euros before all of that? Shane Hannan,
I'm going to say yes. You asked about sports people with flair. I'm going to say Katie Taylor, Kieran McGeehan and Aaron Connolly.
Thomas Barr, there's quite a few. Simon Zeebo, but that's why he doesn't play, because he's got flair.
Yeah, but in a word, I think we'll qualify. How we'll do it, I don't know. But look, we might scrape a 1-0 win over Denmark next month.
Up next, this kid has flair. If you have interest in athletics, listen. If you don't have interest in athletics, listen. And just wish that you had the confidence of Reece McLennan.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.